Welcome to Lugano Pickers United Online Church on the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, which is 9th of August 2020. I'm Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. Later in the service, Lori is going to read the Bible and Ellie to lead prayers for others. Today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 14 verses 22 to 33, the story of Jesus walking on the water is fascinating. However, we need to know clearly that the point of this story is not that we can walk on water or do other nature-defying actions if we really strongly believe in God or if we believe strongly enough that we can. In the story, Jesus had invited Peter to walk on water. The point is that we can do whatever Jesus commands or invites us to do, even actions that look dangerous and hard. The key is trust. Jesus insists that when we, like Peter, can trust God to give us the power to do whatever He asks. We have faith and we trust God. Today I brought a paper boat with a sail, and on the sail I wrote trust and faith. And I'm going to place this boat in the bowl, and this bowl is filled with water. Hopefully, this boat is floating on this water. Oh, no. Wow. I just present the message and so on. So let us begin our online church by prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we come to You this day, seeking Your healing and restoring love. Give us courage to reach out to You in the good and easy times, as well as in the times of strain and stress. Open our hearts to receive Your message of peace and hope and grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us worship, praise God by singing if you are worshiping alone, hymning or listening to if you are with others. The first song, The Power of Your Love.
As Your will unfolds,
Today's key words are faith and trust. The movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is one of them that shows a leap of faith. Unfortunately, I cannot play a movie clip due to copyright issue, so I'm going to just introduce a story. If you watch near the end of the movie, you can find that according to the map he's following, Indiana Jones has to cross an invisible bridge to get to the Holy Grail. The only way for the bridge to appear is to step out into what appears to be the void. It takes a literal leap of faith that support will be there for the next step to appear. Having said about the faith and trust, I'm going to tell you an old joke, but it is insightful one. The story goes like this. A man slipped off the edge of the cliff, and just before the fell, the hundreds of feet to the valley floor below, he grabbed an extended branch. There he was, dangling dangerously from that little branch, afraid that any second it would pull out from the side of the cliff. "Help!" he began to cry. "Help! Is anyone up there?" There was no answer. So he began to pray desperately. "Heavenly Father, please help me. Please save me. If you save me, then I'll change my life as I come to you and going to church, doing a service, and you know, I'll be a better person." 4 minutes later, finally he heard the big booming voice. "I am the Lord. I'm here to save you." The man was beyond relieved. "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But please hurry, do something." The Lord returned, "I will, my son. All you have to do is following my every direction without doubting or fear." "Fine, fine," shouted back the man. "Anything, but please hurry. What do you want me to do first?" The booming voice came back, "Let go." The man was silent for a moment. Finally, he yelled out, "Is anyone else up there?" What a hilarious story, but there is a lesson. What do these stories teach us about risk and faith? Later in the message, we will learn what the gospel teaches us about risk and faith. So now, let us listen to the Bible reading. Thank you, Laurie.
Hello, my name is Laurie. Today's Bible reading is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen.
I guess when you listen to the gospel reading today, you may be reminded of an idea or image that comes across your mind. And you may recall an unforgettable experience related with the water. To me, I was reminded of an incident that I was experienced a long time ago when I was little. I don't know exactly how old I was, but my family went to a beach on a summer holiday. My father tried to teach me how to swim because I couldn't swim at the time. So he took me to the water and let me make flutter kicks. Gradually, he led me to deeper water where the depth was not reached by my feet. And last, he took off his hand. You know what? As soon as let go his hold, I struggled with floating. Even I was almost drowned as I tried to get out from the deep water, so I shouted, "Dad, help me, Dad!" Do you know what happened? Immediately, my father reached out his hand and caught me, so I was rescued. However, I drank very salty water a lot. In the gospel reading today, the word immediately has been used three times in verses 22, 27, and 31. The context of this passage is immediately after Jesus feeding the 5,000, when a crowd of people who saw the miracle wanted to proclaim Jesus as king. Jesus could see that the situation had become explosive. Therefore, in verse 22, immediately Jesus takes action. And for the first time in Matthew, the disciples are sent forth without him. The word used in verse 22, make in Greek, is actually quite forceful. It tells us that he compelled them to leave him and go ahead in the boat to the other side of the lake. Interestingly, they do not question, complain, or hesitated, but are obedient to Jesus' command. Even though they have just had a great experience of feeding the 5,000, because Jesus' command came so suddenly, they do not have time to hear any feedback or command or good reports about the miracle. Instead, they leave the venue full of excitement, inspiration, and grace. After this, Jesus dismissed the people and went up on a mountain by himself, and he was alone. Strangely enough, this is the first time in the Gospel that Jesus is pictured as praying. Now he finds the opportunity to pray and walk quietly with God while he resumed his humble way of service. While Jesus praying, the disciples are traveling from east to west across the lake, running into the headwind or rough lake. They must be exhausted. Not only have they been awake many hours, but also it is exhausting work to keep a sailboat veiled and on course in the middle of the lake in the midst of a storm. It took place between 3 and 6 a.m. Notice here that in obeying Jesus' command, in fact, the disciples come face to face with a storm and learn from that obedience to the will and to the word of God doesn't guarantee a quiet life. It may lead us through a storm. But remember this, the storm was not unforeseen by Christ. It was not being careless or carefree with the life of his disciples. Here the boat is also used to symbolize the church, as Matthew is thinking of the suffering the church will experience during its mission on which it is sent forth alone. Furthermore, to the biblical mind, being on the sea is itself a threat, representing all the anxieties and dark powers that threaten the goodness of life. The sea is here, a barrier that separates the disciples from Jesus, who represents the presence of God. However, he comes in the darkest part of the night, walking on the sea. See verses 25 to 27. When the disciples see Jesus, they are afraid. They are absolutely terrified. They fail to recognize him because they do not expect him to come to them. For them, while the storm is dangerous, it is also familiar because they know what to expect from a storm and what to do in order to keep the boat sailing. Yet, they do not expect a man walking on water in the dark, far from land, and they are in fear seeing a ghost. What happened? Immediately, Jesus responds, "Take courage. It is I, don't be afraid." In other words, he says, "Come down, it is me, it is Jesus, the Son of God, don't worry." This story confers and encourages Matthew's faith community that even in the midst of persecution and in its mission, they need not fear, because Jesus is present in and with the community. It also suggests the same assurance to us in times of illness, persecution, or other troubles like COVID-19 pandemic situation. It makes us prepare for times when things may not go smoothly or well, but go badly. What we may learn from the tough times is that the storms of life can be a means of blessing. When things are going badly, our hearts are more receptive to Jesus Christ. A broken heart is often a door through which Christ can find entry. He still comes to us in the midst of our troubles, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." What about your experience of being a stormy situation in your life, or going through difficult circumstances in your life? I guess every one of you may have experience of some kind of difficulties in your life. For me, there have been many occasions when I experienced of that. I still remember that God took care for me and my family in various ways while going through the time of uncertainty for the future ministry, facing the crisis in ministry, and the time of mental and financial hardships and so on. Sometimes by meeting with the right people, and sometimes through the Word of God and through touches of the Holy Spirit. What we learn from the story is that where Jesus is, no matter how dark the night, no matter how high the waves, strong the wind, or wet the water. It is in fact safer to be where Jesus is than being in a boat without Him. See verse 28. What happened when Peter made an inquiry to Jesus saying, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, come. And Peter obeys. In a sense, I think it took faith and courage to climb over the side of the boat and to let go and walk toward Jesus. We are not told how far Peter walked before he began to sink. But stop for a moment and think about what Peter has just done. There were and are all sorts of reasons for not getting out of the boat in the midst of the storm. You cannot walk on water. It is impossible. You will look foolish and get wet. It is dangerous. The boat is the safest place to be. You are needed here in the boat. You need all the help we can get to fight this storm. You are putting too much faith in that call. There was only one reason to get out of the boat. Jesus has said, come. There is no other reason to climb over the side of that boat and to walk on water. I think this is the central point of the story. Jesus called Peter to get out of the boat, and he did. It is the same for us. Jesus calls us to get out of the boat, which is the church, and take a risk to fulfill the mission of God in the world. I won't go further, but remember what Jesus says earlier in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, you are the light in the world. You are the salt in the world. He doesn't say you are the light in the church or anything else, but in the world. Everything said Peter to do the very opposite, but he obeyed the command of Jesus. The reality is that no other disciples in that boat obeyed. They sat there, cowering in fear, blinded by their fear of the storm. The other 11 remained terrified in the boat and never experienced walking on water. Only Peter did. Remain in the boat and you never know what it is like to walk on the water with Jesus Christ. And the truth is that only the call of Jesus could and would make it possible. That is why Peter asked the question. See verses 29 to 31. For Peter, this is a moment both of weakness and strength. He doubts, but wants to believe. He fears, but steps out of a perfectly good boat into the storm. He begins to walk, but finds himself distracted by the violent wind. When he begins to sing, he calls out, Lord, save me. Here, expressing faith even through his fear. None of the Gospels tells us how far Peter walks, but when he hesitates, Jesus is close enough to him, immediately reach out and catch him. Jesus says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? This is the only place that Jesus applies you of little faith to only one disciple rather than the group as a whole. Note that Jesus first saves Peter, then rebukes him. When they get into the boat, the wind ceases. To the extent that this is a parable of Matthew's persecuted church, the stilled wind stands as a promise that persecution will eventually cease. However, the message is not, if Peter had enough faith, he could have walked on the water. Just as the message to us is not, if we have enough faith, we could overcome all our problems and troubles in spectacular ways. This interpretation is wrong. Faith is not being able to walk on the water. Only God can do that. But daring to believe, in the face of all the evidence that God is with us in the boat, made real in the community of faith as it makes its way through the storm battered by the waves. Let me finish by saying this. Peter walked on water. He sank and was rescued. He experienced something none of the other disciples ever did, because they stayed in the boat. There is a knowledge of Jesus that only comes through the action and experience of getting out of the boat and walking on the water with Him. See verse 33. The result was that the eyes of the others were opened further to who Jesus was. Remember, you won't ever experience walking on water if you never get out of your boat. And that means taking a risk at answering the voice of Christ. Finally, the disciples worship Jesus saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." As the disciples confess Jesus as the Son of God, let us make our own affirmation of faith. So would you stand and say the affirmation of faith together? We are not alone. We live in God's Word. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make you, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist the evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our church and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Be the Lord, Christ is
Please bow your head and pray with me. Great God and Heavenly Father, thank you that we can still come together in fellowship with you and our church family during this time online. We know you are a God of compassion and great understanding. Please slow the spread of COVID-19 throughout our land, and please protect the vulnerable from its deadly touch. Please lay your healing hands on those who are infected. Please restore them to full health and strength. Comfort the families of those who have died from this disease. Please fill their hearts with your presence and gather around them friends, family and neighbours who will comfort them and support them in their time of this loss. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of modern medicine, and thank you for the passion and dedication of the medical staff everywhere. Please give each one of them your wisdom in every decision they make. Please protect and sustain them and give them the strength, energy and courage they need to carry on. We also uplift the people of Beirut in our hearts at this time. Fill us with compassion and move us to reach out in love. In your mercy, bring comfort to those who mourn, healing for those who are injured. Give strength to those who are working to rebuild their shattered lives and protect those who are vulnerable, especially in this time of COVID. Lord, lead us in your ways so that together we may bring the light of new hope wherever there is destruction and despair. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
These are today's announcements. Firstly, there were a few birthdays among LPUC members during the past week. Merv Moffitt on the 5th, and one of Vivian's grandsons, Zach, on the 5th, and Simote Finau on the 7th. So, happy birthday, Merv, Jack, and Simote. If I miss yours, then happy birthday to all of you. And there will be another virtual morning tea today around 11:15 a.m. after this online church. And Zoom will be opened from 11 for 11:15 meeting. So see you soon. And for your information, Sunday 23rd of August, which is in 2 weeks' time, there will be so-called mass church at home. So which means Jan and Natalie are going to demonstrate craft ideas at home. I'm looking forward to that and also looking forward to your participations. And lastly, in the church council meeting this Tuesday, It was agreed that we are not going to return to regathering and worshiping at the church immediately in the light of the Premier's and United Church's recommendation that all congregations refrain from face-to-face worship at this time. The Church Council will monitor the ongoing coronavirus situation as we aim to return to worship at church on Sunday, 30th of August. I guess you may feel frustrated or difficult in being isolated so long, not able to meet, you know, church families in person. So we are going to looking for a way to support and connect with one another. Please continue to pray for the Church Council and especially for an end to this pandemic. This is an end of today's online church. If you are willing to get connected with us or simply having any question or inquiry, please contact me via email or phone on the bottom of the screen. This is a blessing. You have been embraced by the love of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and blessed by Jesus to go into this world to offer grace and love, healing and hope. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you for your participation in our ordinary church today, and thank you for all those people who took part of this church, online church. Thank you. Hope you have a very blessed day and week. See you next week. I got no worries, got no woes. Feeling happy, that's me.